home prices drop again, are we in a housing depression?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Steve Chiatakis. More bad news from the housing market. Home prices fell in February for the eighth straight month, according to the S&P Case-Shiller Index. Average home prices across the country are now down to where they were nearly a decade ago. Here to dig into the numbers with us is Carl Case, co-founder of the Case-Shiller Index. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning.
We've heard that housing could be in a double dip. But with numbers like these, are we potentially even in a housing depression?
Not yet. I mean, I think that there is one aspect to it that is a depression. That's the amount of housing production that's taking place. I mean, it went below the 50-year low level. That's a depression for the housing sector. It's been down 30 months at low levels, and it's because the demand is not there. Household formation is dropped. In fact, the latest figures from the census say we're not growing households at all. It's not looking great.
A lot of the rest of the economy has been recovering and looking, you know, pretty robust. So why is it that housing continues to lag behind?
Well, it's because we had a massive excess. We built a couple of million more homes than we needed, given the number of households. We took prices in some cities and tripled them. $150,000 houses in 2000 became $450,000 houses by 2005. So we have a big hangover, and we're waking up in the morning, and it's going to take a while to burn it off.
Carl Case is the co-founder of the Case-Shiller Housing Prices Index. Carl, thank you.
Okay.
Those bad housing numbers weren't enough to keep Wall Street down. Lots of good earning news have the market singing a happy tune this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 0.8%, 103 points to 12,583. The NASDAQ up 0.9% to 2851. The S&P 500 up 0.9 as well to 1347. Ford Motor posted a $2.5 billion first quarter profit. That's thanks to the success of its fuel-efficient models and to consumers paying roughly $250 more per car than we did last year. Apparently, we will take that deluxe navigation system. And it would follow that consumer confidence rose in April, according to the Conference Board Index. Confidence had taken a dive in March on worries of rising gas prices. Not that those have gone away. The average price for a gallon of gas in this country is now $3.86. That's pushed President Obama to look into whether there's fraud or manipulation in the oil markets. But now critics are firing back, blaming the government for pushing prices up. Here's our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
Critics point out his Republican predecessor ordered the same kind of probe in 2005 and again in 2006 that Mr. Obama is promising now.
We're going to make sure that no one is taking advantage of the American people for their own short-term gain.
Twice, investigators found no conspiracy, and University of Maryland economist Peter Morici says there's no profiteering this time either.
The focus on fraud and speculation is scapegoating.
Morici says it's distracting from years of inconsistent energy policy, which has kept us vulnerable to oil shocks. Meantime, industry analyst Stephen Shork argues Obama is essentially blaming the messenger, investors who are signaling the risk of not having a clear energy strategy.
What the market would like to see is a coherent message.
Shork argues the Fed keeps flooding investors with cheap money and encouraging speculation, and low interest rates have weakened the greenback's purchasing power.
I don't even watch the oil market anymore. I watch the dollar. If the dollar is going in a certain direction, I'm confident oil is going in the opposite direction.
Address the monetary issues, and Shork says flatly, you will see oil prices lower. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance. Trained agents committed to small business success. On the web at farmers.com.
Leaders of France and Italy met today to discuss the recent influx of migrants from Tunisia into Italy due to unrest in North Africa. From the south of Italy, Stephen Beard has more.
The Church of San Domenico on the edge of a sunlit piazza in the ancient hill town of Oria. This pretty scene draws tourists from all over Europe, but in recent weeks there's been an influx of less welcome visitors. Young Tunisian men brawl in the street. This only serves to deepen local hostility to the migrants. This man says they drink, they argue, they fight, they break bottles in the street. 25,000 Tunisians have arrived in Italy since January, when the Tunisian dictator Ben Ali was ousted. When he fell, his control over illegal migration collapsed. Mohamed Munaidi joined the exodus.
Maybe they're looking for a nice life, job, let's say house or something like this.
He's now one of hundreds of young Tunisians living in a temporary reception centre outside Oria. Fawzi Bushetsky is another.
If I have work, I will help my family.
The fact that these young men are looking for work makes them even less popular here. There are few jobs even for the locals. Not everyone, though, is hostile to the incomers.
Numero 42.
Volunteers hand out shoes and clothes to the migrants. Organiser Giuseppe Vitali says Italians should be the first to sympathise with people seeking their fortune abroad.
We have a duty because we were migrants in the past. We went in the past in the United States and in Germany, above all.
Vitali hopes other wealthier parts of Italy and Europe will put out the welcome mat for the migrants. So far, there's little sign of that. In Oria, southern Italy, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, books are getting into the product placement game. The Wall Street Journal reports for his upcoming travel memoir, author Harry Hurt got freebies from companies like camping gear maker Coleman and talked up the products in the narrative. I'm all for capitalism, but ads in the text? I mean, what's next? What a piece of work is a Big Mac? Do not go gently into that good Macy's? This is the way the world ends, not with a bang, but a Pepsi? In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
A lot of American-grown wheat goes to the Middle East, so farmers here know the politics there pretty well.
If the government stopped subsidizing wheat, they would have a lot of riots. I mean, it would make Tahrir Square look kind of small.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Let them eat bread. Next time on Marketplace, that and the day's business news, the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.